podcast, Ellie Elevates Your National Parks. This is a podcast about the different national parks and monuments. Each episode, I will feature a National Park Service site and tell you some background information and share insights, tips, and suggestions. I will also interview someone different every episode and hear about their experience in the featured park. Let's elevate your knowledge about this episode's site, Mount Rushmore National Memorial. Comes to mind when describing Mount Rushmore is touristy. Although it honors presidents, it is the opposite of Herbert Hoover National Memorial, which you may remember from an earlier podcast of Ellie Elevates Your National Parks. Honestly, I don't remember anything about when I visited because I was just 3 years old. All of the family photos have lots and lots of other people in the background. It is a statue of four of our presidents in Granite Rock, and it is located in South Dakota. The presidents featured are George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Abraham Lincoln, and my buddy Theodore Roosevelt. Doan Robinson had an idea of building the monument to get tourists to come to the area. Originally, he didn't want the heads to be of presidents, but of Lewis and Clark, Red Cloud, and Buffalo Bill Cody. The sculptor, Gutzon Borglum, thought the presidents would be more popular. The construction of the massive sculpture began in 1927, and the faces were completed between 1934 and 1939. The original plan was for the sculptures to go all the way down to the waist, but they didn't have enough money to finish the project as planned. Over 400 people worked on the sculpture, and not a single person died. I thought this was really interesting because deaths weren't uncommon for projects like these. For example, over 100 people died while building Hoover Dam. The workers used dynamite to blow up the stone and then used their hands and small tools to make it perfect. Over 4,000 tons of rocks were removed during the construction. That is the weight of 4,000 small cars. Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Roosevelt were chosen because they worked to expand the United States. Washington was a commander during the Revolutionary War, which earned independence from England. Jefferson purchased the Louisiana Territory from French. Lincoln worked to keep the country together during the Civil War. My buddy Roosevelt signed the Antiquities Act into law, protecting natural and cultural lands. Mount Rushmore officially opened on October 31, 1941, and it is 1,278 acres big. Amazingly, each head is over 60 feet tall. Behind the heads, the rock is hollow, and there is a room. The room is lined with panels that explain the memorial and also contains a box of copies of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, biographies of the four presidents, and more information about the history of the United States. Now I'd like to welcome today's guest, Emily Feltsted Brady. Miss Feltsted Brady is my mom's friend from high school. Would you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've lived in a lot of different states. I've lived in Wyoming and Alaska and Pennsylvania and Georgia, and now I'm in and Utah, and now I'm in Washington State. So I've been really lucky to be able to see lots of the national parks, and I worked on the Wasatch Cache for the Forest Service in 2002.
How would you describe Mount Rushmore?
Well, it's kind of a smaller park. And the heads kind of, they're not as big as you see maybe on TV. They're kind of smaller. And they're on some interesting rock formations. And I was really surprised when I was there that there's prairie and there was a lot of green trees and evergreens, different kinds of spruce and evergreens. And so it's kind of, I was reading a sign that said that it's a mix of east and west, all the things come together.
What did you do when you visited Mount Rushmore?
Well, when we were there, so we, in 2015, I have two little boys, and we decided to travel. My husband's family lives in Utah, so we decided to drive, like you guys do, from Pennsylvania, from Philadelphia, all the way to Utah. And after our trip, my son said, well, hey, if we drove this far, could we go to Yellowstone? And we were like, well, we've already driven 2,500 miles, what's 500 more? So we went up through Yellowstone, and then we went out the top, out I-90, and then we thought, okay, well, we'll go to Rushmore, and we'll just kind of like you guys do, we'll see all the stuff from here to there that we can see. And so when we drove across, we all of a sudden were seeing all these bikers, lots and lots of bikers, and we were thinking, oh, this is probably a nice road for bikers because it's really flat and straight, and there's not a lot of wind, or at least when we were there. But then there were so many. So we didn't realize, finally, when we got closer and closer, and it really is prairie. You don't really see the Black Hills or that area or mountains, really. It just looks flat and brown, like brown grass, especially in August when we were there. But all of a sudden, there were a ton of bikers. And there was a really famous rally at Mount Rushmore named Sturgis, and I hadn't heard of it before. But I looked at the numbers before our interview, and that year there were 1 million bikers that weekend at Mount Rushmore. So it took us normally what would have taken 50 minutes to get off I-90 and go in and see it. It took us 4 hours. And we were stuck in the car and we couldn't get out. And there were all these bikers and a lot of the, there's little towns you have to go through. Did you go there, Ellie? Have you been there?
Oh, we've been to Mount Rushmore when I was two. And we've been there once, but I don't really remember it.
So there's lots of little towns and billboards and stuff, and the towns, they blocked it off to any cars. Only bikers could use the roads through, and there was no way out. We couldn't exit. Once you were kind of on your way to Mount Rushmore, there was no way out. And there were lots of people, like, half-naked or all the way naked. So it was hours and hours of, and people doing all kinds of things on their motorcycles. And there was a lot of trash and a lot of, there were some guns fired off into the air. So it was kind of a stressful experience. And when we finally got there, Ellie, there was not even any parking. And there was, even the bikes were parked like up the side of the hills, up the road. So we just pulled over, and we looked at it, and we hopped in the car, and we left. That was it. So we didn't do a lot in the park. We did go off because we were pretty frustrated after that, so we went up to the Black Hills, and we did a little bit of hiking in that area. But I do admit, at the park, we didn't do that much.
Do you think that it was worth it?
No. I think the Black Hills are really beautiful. That area is really beautiful. But it made me feel kind of sad, I think, because there was a lot of trash. And I know that that mountain that is Mount Rushmore used to be called the Six Grandfathers by the Lakota Sioux. And they thought of it as like a sacred place. And so seeing all, and the bikers should be allowed to party however they want. But, usually when you're in a national park, people are kind of, respectful, and you have to take your trash out, and we try to respect the land, right, when we're there?
Mm-hmm.
And that was not what was happening. There was a lot of, just a ton of trash, and it felt disrespectful, and then a lot of the billboards and stuff that were there, it kind of made me sad to think that we took something that was sacred to somebody, and we, like, put our faces on it, not us, you know, our European ancestors, I guess, but, and then it's really touristy right now, but I do think the land is really beautiful and really interesting, and it's amazing to have all of a sudden mountains in the middle of just flat prairie, and to have that mix of forest and really interesting rock formations and grass. I think that's really incredible, and so it kind of made me really sad that we didn't protect the land better, so that we would have more of it to explore and see now.
Do you have a favorite part of Mount Rushmore National Memorial?
The backside of it. I like seeing the mountain formations on the backside, the natural formation.
What plants and animals did you see when you visited?
We didn't see any animals because I think there were so many people and the bikes were really, really loud. So all the animals, I didn't see any birds or anything. They were all hiding. And then the plants were a lot of green plants and grasses and a little bit of flowers. That's mostly it.
What would or wouldn't you suggest for people to do when they visit?
I think maybe there's, on the way there, there's some tribal places. I think I'd suggest that people maybe look at that and learn a little bit about the history before they go. And then... I do think it's worth seeing. It is kind of a marvel. I think people should be aware of the history before they go.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about the park?
No, just that I think your mom said that you had some strong opinions. What do you think about the billboards and all the tourism there?
Well, I think that it could be better protected. And, like, since it was such a unique place, I think that it could, like, have been a really unique spot instead of a very touristy attraction.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think there's anything we could do now? What do you think? And I don't know the solution. I'm just curious. Do you have any ideas on maybe what we could do to protect it now?
I don't know.
Yeah, I wasn't sure either. I was kind of thinking about it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe buy out some of the land that was public. Maybe make it more private.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Well, yeah. Thank you so much, Ms. Felstead Brady. It was great to have you on Ellie Elevates Your National Parks.
Yes, nice to have to be here. Thank you so much.
Even though over 3 million people visit each year, I think you would still enjoy it. You can spend time in the visitor center and watch a short film. I suggest this if it is hot outside and you need the air conditioning. There is also a short trail with 422 stairs. I rode on my dad's shoulders when I did it, but next time I'll have to do it myself, unless I convince my mom to let me hop on a ride. Of course, there's a junior ranger program, and I think you should spend a lot of time looking at the carvings. But most importantly, be prepared to be amazed by giant faces and rocks. Thank you to Ms. Felstead Brady for sharing your experiences. If you're enjoying my podcast, please leave a review or rating on iTunes to help other people find the show. If you have any questions about a national park, please write to me at ellie@untanglingnuts.com, and I may answer your question on a future show. Thank you to my producer, Zach, and my script assistant, Molly, and thank you to Poddington Bear for providing my theme music under an attribution, non-commercial, Creative Commons license.